inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
I've got a really incredible story for you today on the podcast. Joining us on the show today are husband and wife team Cliff and Mina. They live in Silicon Valley, which is, as you probably know, one of the most expensive places in the country and not a very good place to own rental properties. So they own rentals in Canada. And when they first started out, they had a local property manager, but they felt like they were paying too much between property management fees, and they felt like the manager was marking up the repairs too much. So they fired the property manager. They took things over, they put systems in place, and today they are easily self-managing this portfolio while working their full-time jobs. It's a really incredible story, so let's take a real quick break. We'll come back in 30 seconds, and we'll meet Cliff and Mina.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the U.S. Our simple, proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Get your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing at noradarealestate.com/guide. That's N-O-R-A-D-A realestate.com/guide.
Hey, Cliff and Mina, welcome to the podcast. I am really excited to dive into your story today. So let me make sure I got this right. You guys live in Silicon Valley, but your rental properties are up in Canada. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we live in San Jose and our rentals are in Canada.
Now, why is that? Like, why don't you have rentals closer to where you live?
When I first moved down to California, most of my money was in Canada. I actually lived in Canada when I was younger.
Okay. So you were living in Canada, and while you were living there, you started building out your portfolio locally?
Yeah, when I was living in Canada, I was growing and shrinking a portfolio of, it was very small, around 7 houses or 6 houses in total.
Okay.
And then by the time I left Canada, which was back in 2010, then I finally purchased one more building. I got rid of everything and just purchased one building, so I was left with 6 units.
Did you ever consider buying anything in California, or are the numbers just so much better in Canada that it just didn't make sense to buy things locally?
It's a good question. In California, the locations where we know people and we know the market, it's just really way too expensive.
Okay.
I mean, the finances just don't make any sense right now.
Yeah. All right. So Canada, the numbers are much better. Are you able to buy places pretty cheap up there?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's in different places, the prices fluctuate based upon the location. There's a few places that I know of where the prices are quite reasonable. Again, recently we bought a 25-unit kind of brick building with 5 commercial units as well. And that was around $1.2 million, just to give a kind of a high-level price.
All right. Now, let's kind of talk about how you built your portfolio. So how many doors do you have today?
Doors, we have 47 doors.
47, okay.
47
and
units, yeah.
And how long did it take you to get there from the time you bought your first rental till today?
It's been about, to grow up this specific one, it's been about 8 years.
Okay. Well, let's go back. Let's talk about that first property. Now, I know you had some properties that you sold off. So I guess let's talk about the first property that you still own today. Tell me about that property, like how you found it, what kind of property it was.
Yeah, so that property is in Kingston, Ontario. It's a beautiful 6-story brick building. Where we found this was we had some friends that were real estate agents in Kingston. I had lived in Kingston before. I knew the market. So with my connections, I managed to get in touch with a real estate agent, and I was looking for 6 units actually. And it just so happened this came online or was made available.
Okay.
At the time, the purchase price was amazing, but it was really full of not perfect tenants. So a little bit of work.
So what did you have to do? Did you have to evict everybody?
We, because of the rental board in Ontario, it's not so easy to do that. What I ended up doing was taking on the building, putting in a ton of money in it. And then what we had is my parents were monitoring and watching that building as I was out of the country. And we just slowly improved the tenants as they decided to move out.
Okay. Now, you were living, so that the you're in California now, your properties are in Canada, but for a while you were in China after you bought that property. Was that difficult to be that far away?
Yeah, across the world, like when the time zone is 13 hours or so, that I think is almost too much for managing a property interactively. You almost have to take a step back. I tried to do that. I tried to manage it more directly. Mm-hmm. And it cost me a lot. I think, again, probably cost me closer to $100,000.
Wow.
Of like a $100,000 learning experience.
Yeah.
For that property.
So what do you think some of the big takeaways that you learned from there, so that we don't have to make the same $100,000 mistake?
Exactly. The biggest thing is knowing your contractors. The big thing for me is that the labor and contracts is so expensive. If you choose the wrong person, they'll really kill you. You'll
sure.
end up knowing, if you don't watch your contracts, they'll give you garbage.
Yeah. So,
and then you have to completely renovate.
Today, with you being an out of town landlord, how are you finding local contractors and people that are going to do work on the properties?
Maybe I'll pass that question off to my wife. She actually is quite excited about finding people.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Hi, Dan. I basically just because Canada has something like Craigslist. It's called Kijiji. Mm-hmm. I just post ad in the Kijiji and then said we need a rental administrator, and then people send us resumes. One, I think for each ad, we can get 10 to 20 people reply.
Okay.
And I go through all the resumes and call them, and then for the people I feel comfortable with, we will try with the simple task first, and then mm-hmm. see how they are doing. If we feel comfortable with their current, like the first few trial they did for us, then we will move forward to say, oh, let's set up a, you know, longer term relationship, and then work out the, you know, the contract.
So what Mina's highlighting, though, is that what we've done is we've chosen to hire a person in each location, where we pay them a little bit more money as our kind of foot on the ground in the location. And we use that person to help us vent and find contractors to do the work. So again, Mina searches quite long and hard to find those people. And then once we find them, we make sure that we use their contacts to do the actual work.
Yeah, and then something to mention here is we actually learned huge lessons from. The people we are using right now or we are working with right now, we are happy with. But then before that, actually 2 or 3 years, we don't have the people who work for us, either property management companies, we are actually not so happy with. That's why we kind of moved to the model that we hire our own people.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, wouldn't it just be easier to have a property management company? But it sounds like you guys had a bad experience.
Well, we had a number of bad experiences. So I've been in this for a while. So when I was when I decided to scale. So when I moved to California, that's when we took that second step of moving from 6 units to we went from 6 to 22 over a year and a little bit. At that time, I looked for a couple of property management companies, and what we ended up doing, the first property management company was recommended by close personal friends, and I called them up, interviewed them. They seem good. Once they started, that's when the extremely interesting charges came in. So cleaning out an apartment was, just because I had some terrible people in some apartments, cleaning an apartment cost me one time $5,000.
Wow.
to clean out a one-bedroom unit.
Oh, my God.
to do work on a bathroom, not to renovate a bathroom, but just to do work on it, it was closer to $6,000 or $7,000. Not to renovate, just to do some very, very simple things on the floor. There was one other thing I was going to highlight, and again, this is just something for us all to watch out for. There was one property manager that was referred to us and that was really good at keeping apartments rented. And when you're remote, that was very convenient. Unfortunately, what we found out was they were only renting to the people that were terrible. Well, they wouldn't do any background checks, and we would constantly cycle through them, but we didn't know. The property manager doesn't tell you about that. And then when we actually took a look at some of the units, because they were they're not the right ones, then your units get destroyed.
Coming up on the Rental Income Podcast.
Cliff and Mina have a fairly big portfolio. They're working full time and they're remotely managing their rental property. So I want to find out exactly how they're doing that. First, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor today. It's Rentler. If you're looking for a website that can help you automate a lot of your tasks as a landlord, Rentler might be exactly what you're looking for. They have tools to help you list your properties. You can screen tenants right there on the website. Your tenants can make maintenance requests, and you can manage the whole process. You can collect rent. Your tenants can pay out of their checking account by ACH, or you can offer them the option to pay by credit card, which is a really awesome service to offer your tenants. They also have a great legal library that has all kinds of forms and checklists that you can use as a landlord. They're really big into education and they want to help you be a better landlord. So right now they're offering a free report just for our listeners. They have a report that lists all the eviction laws for all 50 states. You can get this totally free. Just go to tryrentler.com/report. That's tryrentler, tryrentler.com/report. All right, let's get back to the show. So, Mina, tell me, what do you do when you have a vacancy? How are you showing the properties?
I think some of your guest speakers also mentioned this before, that you need to have the right team on the field to, especially when you manage your properties remotely. So the first thing, what you mentioned, when you have a vacant apartment, the first thing is you need to have a leasing agent. So that's the one we are using right now. We find it through actually a realtor. He owned properties as well. Also, he recommended this lady to us. So I called at that time. We happened to have one vacant apartment. So I called her and then asked her to do that for us as the first trial. So because what we learned from property manager companies is that you kind of need to, because they are very good theoretically. When you talk to them over the phone, they are really good. Right. But you need to verify, based on how they work for you, based on some examples. So what we try with this lady, and then he's quite organized, much better than the people we used before. So she was send all the applications. She do some filtering first, and then she was send two or three applications that she felt comfortable with to me and asked me to review. And then we choose a people that we are comfortable with. And so since that trial, I feel comfortable with her. So we started to use her more often, and then we still use her till today. And that's how we find the.
What does she charge? Is it like the first month's rent?
Half
of the first month. Okay, that's not bad.
And I was going to highlight, there's two people that we use. We have two main locations in Canada. So some of them are half month's rent. Sometimes you do find that they go all the way up to 1 month's rent. That's usually the range.
Right. Okay. And then once they place the tenant, they're out of the picture. You're not working with them again until you have your next vacancy, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
For us, there is something tricky because the handover, sometimes the tenant will still ask them to for maintenance. But then this lady is pretty good. She will send all the communication to us and redirect them to us.
Okay. And so as far as collecting rent then, is everyone paying you electronically?
Yeah, so we have many of them paying electronically. In fact, I think right now, do we have about...
Right now, for the 47 doors, we only have probably 7 people paying cash or check.
Okay.
Others are through e-transfer or like pre-authorized debit.
Okay. We do recommend that other people look to, like, as long as you set the stage for people to do electronic, then usually it's okay. Mm-hmm. But you do need to make sure that they know that before they get in. If you try to bring that up after they get into your apartment, right, then they're not as excited sometimes.
How are you taking cash? Like, so you said that you have some tenants paying cash. Like, how are they getting you the money?
So Mina highlighted we have 2 agents. We have 1 agent in each kind of general location, and
yeah,
we pay that person a salary or more. We keep them more on staff. And so those people are available as feet on the ground to go
okay
to the different tenants and collect money.
So this person that's on staff, this is almost like a property manager? Like, this is someone that works for you in every city?
It's more of a person that executes on our property management requests.
Okay.
So the reason why I just describe it like that is because they don't really take any action by themselves. Everything
okay
is done through Mina set up a software package called Jira, which a lot of people will be familiar with. But again, we have a ticketing system, and through the ticketing system, we kind of dispatch
okay
things to that.
And how do you pay that person? They're on a salary, so if nothing is really going on that month, they get paid the same on a month when maybe there's a lot of activity?
I think it depends on how you work out with the contract with them. For our people, we pay them by hour. So,
okay. Okay.
Each month they will report. So this I didn't mention before. Actually, our team consists of a leasing agent and then a kind of administrator role, which do your rent connection and then also organize the work with contractor and also deliver notice, like just interaction with tenants. And then we have a bunch of contractors that we use and we like. We keep it,
right,
within, keep the relationship with them. So
okay,
this administrator, yeah, so we pay them by hour.
Okay. And how many hours a month are they generally working?
We have 2 different, so for the 2 different areas, again, we have, 2 areas, one area is probably closer to maybe 40 hours for a month or probably around 40 hours. It's sometimes the bill is around $2,000 for
okay
one area. For the other area, it's around maybe 1500.
That sounds
the areas
like,
are broken up
that
to
sounds to me like a lot of hours. Like, what are they doing?
Oh, I think within that 40 hours, it's not just property management, because in one location, the administrator actually take the role of handyman as well.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
That's like simple repairs.
Okay.
For example, just the toilet is broken or window is broken. He will go in and fix by himself.
Okay.
And then only for the bigger projects like roofing or siding or bigger electrician work, we will hire third party contractors, or he will recommend it because he owns some properties as well.
Right.
So that 40 hours actually contains both property management
and repairs. Okay.
And repairs, yeah.
And so it works out, or I guess it must work out a lot cheaper to pay that person the hourly rate than you would if you were paying 10% to a property manager, right?
It's not, yeah, because again, when you talk about property managers, I've never actually seen a property manager only charge 10%.
Right, that's true. That's true. Yeah, there's always extra fees, and yeah, absolutely.
The right average bill, just to give an idea, the average bill with a property manager, just to give you a range, was almost uniformly between the different people I had between $5,000 and $7,000, even $9,000 a month.
Wow.
In random repairs or getting evictions or anything. So again, what we've saved, we've saved about $5,000.
Really? Wow. Wow. That's a huge saving.
One thing to mention that is very important. It not only saves money, it also gives us some level of control or like monitoring, because the property manager company we had before, we kind of just hands
both
off.
Of them.
Yeah. We just hands off. We said, you know, basically what we get, the interaction we have with them is, you know, every month you send us bill. That's it. We don't know what tenants they put in. We don't know what, the repairs, we know it because in the invoice, but we can't control what repairs they do or how much money they to spend on it. We just know it through the monthly bill, right? But at that time, it's kind of too late to, you know, judge what happens before. But then for this, for our current model, it's really nice that we control, because all the interaction with tenants, all the repairs comes into a, you know, a group email, we can see it. And then we kind of coordinate. Yes, it puts some workload to us, but we can coordinate what repairs we want to do and then how we're going to do it. So we can actually give our input to the administrator or the property manager said, you know, can we do this way so that we can save some money, or can we, you know, fix it instead of replace it? I think that that puts the evaluation before they actually do the work, so we can save money in advance.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that seems really smart, because, I mean, it is a little bit of work for you to be looking at the emails and to see what's going on, but to save $5,000 a month, like, that seems like it's very worth it
as Mina highlighted, it's also your time. So again, when you're working with property management companies, they will come out with expenses and talk to you and say, hey, how do you want us to do this? And as if you have a choice. But what you'll find during that negotiation is that if it's not the right price, because the property management company is probably doing some of the repairs, they will drag their feet, do anything they can to kind of not do what you want. So it's just kind of a back and forth fight. Again, and it's not a big deal. It's just that the property management is in there to make money.
Right.
Not for you to make money.
Yeah. You know, what's crazy about property management is it's such a low margin business that, like, they're charging all these fees, but I feel like at the end of the day, like, it's not like they're getting rich off of it. I think they've got to charge those fees just to kind of meet their overhead. So
I would agree. Some property managers are going to be really good. And I think we should make a call out and highlight that there is probably really good ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
But with our experience is that it's not a low margin business. With the people that we got accidentally saddled with. So we ended up financing the purchase of a plumbing company, essentially.
Oh, wow.
So I think over a year with one company, we paid, I think, $79,000 or $89,000 for property management of like three buildings.
Wow.
And
okay.
That's with the charges that they add. Again, when you look at things overall, it adds up.
Yep.
And that company, again, it made enough at it had enough money that it decided to go into a plumbing company and decided to start to do all of our plumbing as well. They find ways to capitalize. Like, so the people that are not reasonable will find a way to take advantage of you.
Yep.
The people that are good, again, I think you can work with them.
Yeah, I would agree. So is there ever a time when you need to physically visit the properties, or do you not need to because of your team?
We do physically visit the properties. It's usually maybe three or four times a year. With the team, we also have pictures and photos that we do. And we also have people that can go off and cross-check what we understand, because we know other people in the different locations. So it's good to have somebody cross-check and be an external viewer.
Right.
Regardless of what you do. But just to go in and check every now.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate you telling your story. If anybody wants to reach out to Cliff and Mina, I have their information on the website. You can look it up at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode 160. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing to the podcast. We have new interviews every single Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.